I want to welcome a new sponsor to SliceOffice.com. The attorneys at Gingrich, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. If you want a personal attorney that can help you in so many different areas, they've got them. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. They're easy to reach. GTWLawyers.com. That's GTWLawyers.com.
Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
Welcome to another podcast at SliceOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at MTI, Madison Firefighters, Local 311, Madison Teamsters, Local 695, and the Operating Engineers, Local 139. Joining us now, the new executive director of MTI, Ed Sedlowski Jr., and I make sure I say Jr. because we also want to honor his father, Edward Sedlowski, who was an amazing man.
Hey, good morning, brother, and thanks for remembering my old man. Boy, what a great pa our family. Yeah, you're overwhelming me already in the morning.
Well, that's okay. Glad to overwhelm you. Well, you have. Yeah. I'm thinking about Ed Sedlowski Jr. and his timing. He comes back to AFSCME, and Scott Walker drops the bomb. Right? He goes to California, and there's unbelievable, tumultuous times with the nurses. He comes back to MTI, and it's just, your timing is just amazing, Ed.
Yeah, I've always gravitated towards the tip of the spear, as you know, but just run on pure adrenaline. But this is a calculated move. My family and my kids, particularly Faith and Evelyn and Emily, I'm so lucky, as you know, Sly, just to be surrounded by support and love. But, when Doug Keeler decided to retire, you know, it was like, okay, we were just kind of talking about it and contemplating and, just trying to be there for real pals. So, as you know, I spent a good deal of time at MTI back in the 90s and the 2000s. As a matter of fact, started when the qualified economic offer was imposed by then Governor Tommy Thompson in July 1st of 93. Public education and educators have always been up against it in Wisconsin, at least in our lifetime. And a lot of folks forget the more recent past, and then you got post-Act 10 and the complete defunding of public education. It's like falling off the Monterey Bay cliff there, what's going on at the state level relative to financial support for public schools.
Well, but Betsy DeVos is a big help on the federal level.
Oh, yes. Well, we got a lot going on, man, as you know. And there's so much the shameful face of greed, as we like to say, and the accumulation of wealth in this country is so out of control. Thank goodness for a future we can believe in, an awakening the last few years with at least one guy from Vermont driving a real good conversation nationally. But so we got a lot of work to do still, and confident that together, what do we know for sure? Whatever we put our minds to as working people, we can accomplish it. So as long as we're rowing in the same direction.
All right, so you come from a steelworker family. There are always some that wanted to take teachers in a direction very different than trade unionists and, more of a professional organization rather than a hardscrabble union that fights for worker justice. Bring me your perspective and how you were raised fighting for steelworkers in with fighting for teachers.
Well, my family comes out of the tradition of the Congress of Industrial Organizations, you know, in the 1930s, the industrial approach to unionism versus the craft approach. And the industrial approach is one where there are no racial barriers, gender-based barriers, but inclusive, much more inclusive of all workers of all classifications. And I think we're seeing a resurgence of that, particularly within the teacher labor movement, the teacher movement. The strikes, the wave of strikes in 2018 across several right-wing states.
West Virginia, Oklahoma, yeah?
Yeah, there's a long list. L.A.
Of course, even buried in those states are some pretty strong labor traditions in the past.
That is true. There's some very good, very deep heritage within the mine workers, et cetera, and again, the same kind of notions, very militant, class-oriented, and I would say in the past 30 years, growing up as a son, grandson, and great-grandson of steelworkers, and working in the mills myself and being exposed to a very progressive, militant brand of unionism. And when I say militant, I just mean true believers, you know, in the union and what industrial democracy should look like. Again, a multiracial democracy. The teacher movement now is really at the forefront, I believe, in our society, and has been for the past several years. Madison's had a long proud tradition. MTI itself, the members of engaging in, social, racial, economic justice within their own union. So on that level, my being at MTI is an extreme privilege, but also a good fit for my philosophy as a trade unionist.
All right, so tell me about the situation that you're in right now and what you beat back the other day with the Madison School Board vote.
Well, Madison did a very interesting thing post Act 10. They really memorialized the collective bargaining agreements that were developed over several decades into an employee handbook. And so if one takes into account the breadth and scope of the policies that the parties have agreed to, those are all memorialized in what's called the employee handbook in the Madison School District. So more recently, and this year, there's been an annual review process that has been agreed upon by the school district, the Board of Education policy, and the unions, particularly MTI and AFSCME and the building trades, where there'd be an annual review committee. And, given the health pandemic that's gone on, the parties agreed to put those conversations on hold in the spring, given the pandemic and the school closures and the crisis that is still confronting everyone. But more recently, the district has come with some unilateral changes, using the same tools that Scott Walker's given to other, all public sector employers, and really, really silencing the voice and of educators. And the district now is literally trying to deconstruct part of the handbook and the agreed upon process during the pandemic. So without appropriate employee input, that relationship of trust, mutual respect and trust has been violated within the last month and a half. The district has been unilaterally moving towards imposing some changes, getting rid of seniority or employment security provisions that currently exist and have existed in that handbook for decades, contracts for decades.
And this is all with an acting superintendent.
Acting superintendent. So, yeah, they have an interim superintendent, Jane Belmore. And worse, insult to injury, about a month ago, the district purposefully and deliberately bypassed MTI as the exclusive. You know, we do the certification each year through the Wisconsin Employment Relations.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hurdles. I mean, the Republicans put a lot of hurdles in there. That's not an easy thing to do.
Well, you have to have a majority of individuals in the unit vote in the affirmative. So anyone who doesn't vote is considered a no vote. But MTI members to the one, I think 1% of eligible voters voted no. So, I mean, MTI, Madison Teachers, has, I think, perhaps the highest recertification percentage out of any union in the state. If you look at the data on the WERC website. And so now the district has bypassed the union around base wage negotiations. They sent out a survey to our members asking, geez, would you be willing to forego a base wage adjustment so that we don't lay off 92 of your colleagues? And that's illegal. You know, it's wrongful. It's illegal. It violates 111.70 of the statutes. So the union, we promptly moved to a prohibited practice charge, you know, calling them out on their wrongful behavior. And that's still pending before the WERC. As a matter of fact, we were supposed to have a mediation session today, and that's been canceled by the employer. We attempted to, you know, sit down and try to work through the problem together. Worst of all, they've continued to, I should say, more insult to injury, sent out a subsequent email to members who were complaining about the behavior, that MTI no longer speaks for a majority of its members. You know, more interference, if you will, or doubling down on the bad behavior. And so it's caused
a problem. It almost sounds like they're trying to take advantage of this pandemic.
Well, trying to take advantage of the pandemic, you know, and geez, is everyone's anxious. I mean, you know, 50,000 new cases yesterday or more, I'm not sure. But,
yeah, 238 new cases in Canada and 50,000 new cases in the United States.
Yeah, so while in the height of the pandemic and everybody being anxious about what tomorrow may bring and will schools be reopened and all of these kinds of questions, what will that look like? Also have a school referendum that, you know, is looming and for the fall around capital improvements, like a $315 million capital improvement. We're still waiting to see what the school board's going to do regarding the operational aspect of the referendum. You know, that right now what they have on the table for an operational referendum is really just a stopgap measure to fill the holes that have been created by, again, the shortfalls in state and federal funding, but nothing by way of additional resources to students or really going to hinder the abilities, the district's ability to attract and retain, you know, qualified teachers and particularly teachers of color as well. There's a lot of conversation going on just about trying to get more teachers of color in diversifying the workforce and getting people to not only apply and be employed, but to stick around and make a career out of it in the Madison schools.
But it sounds like the school district is really trying to save money, and so they're really trying to pit younger teachers of color against teachers with seniority. How do you weave through that?
Well, we've approached those conversations with an open mind. I mean, yesterday we had what was, you know, the Handbook Review Committee met, and again, the district just keeps plowing forward. We offered up an extensive list of items for consideration around, well, first and foremost, standing up school-based budgets where there's no cuts to the classrooms or the resources that are in schools, maybe look elsewhere within the organization where things can be trimmed if needed. But equally, proposals that give a more discretion, if you will, you know, not just the hybrid things, decisions being made solely on seniority, but other criteria. But all of that was rejected outright. And shamefully, one of the administrators attempted to cajole all the participants in the meeting. Let's all agree that seniority is racism. And it was like, we forcefully objected. And, you know, seniority historically, as somebody who's practiced labor relations for nearly 40 years, seniority is almost an immunity card for an employer. It's the antithesis of racism. It's a date. But the district is using it as a wedge, much like you said, with younger teachers, last hired, first fired mentality. And we're saying, let's attract and retain. There's no reason for a layoff in this time and age, and there hasn't been a layoff in the Madison Public Schools in over 20 years. And this school community, what do we know for sure? Madison supports its public schools, and I think there's been some polling done. It hasn't been shared with the union, but as history shows, the local community, the school community, supports its public schools. And when asked, Madison's citizens will be the first ones to respond appropriately. If asked, would you spend $8 more a year per $100,000 of your assessed value in order to ensure a brighter future for all of Madison's school children? They'll say yes.
All right, why don't we take a break there? We'll be right back with Ed Sedlowski, Jr., Madison Teachers Incorporated at SliceOffice.com.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SliceOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SliceOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
We're back at SliceOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Madison Computer Works, Jeff's Guitar Clinic, and the law firm of Thompson, Walks and Gingrich. All right, let's talk a little bit about seniority in teachers. So my favorite teacher just passed away over this past weekend, Marge Rosenthal, seventh grade teacher, Orchard Ridge Middle School. I was I wasn't a great student, but I was really interested in history and really interested in politics. And she really helped me foster that. She took me with her to vote. There was a voting booth, you know, right at the school. I can't tell you what she meant to me. And then I, of course, met her years later as we both worked on Russ Feingold's campaigns. I did a tribute to her on my show the other day, and I had people call in, Ed, talking about what teachers had done for them. And
awesome.
There were a lot of athletes calling, saying that they had great teachers who took their own private time and coached and kept them in school, and what a difference they made for them. And without seniority, we don't have teachers like that.
Well, I want to first express my profound condolences to the entire Rosenthal family. I was lucky enough to be around Marge in the early 90s, again, when the QEO was put in place. And Marge was really, you know, still very active, you know, within her union. You know, she owned it. It was hers, and she didn't let anybody mess with it. And that's really what the epitome of a union member is all about. It's not, the union's not a third party. And Marge certainly had a big impact on me as well, as a staff representative working for and on behalf of Madison teachers. So, yes, seniority is an important thing, and it provides, again, a very orderly process by which, if there's a need for a reduction in staff, determinations can be made. Again, not just at the whim of somebody like Marge, who may have been, was extremely outspoken, let's just be matter-of-fact about it, and had a voice and an opinion on most matters. Without the protections and employment security which seniority brings, she'd be subjected to the, discretion of the employer.
So in other words, the teachers with seniority, who, by the way, have gone back after summer after summer after summer and got continuing education, they've invested a lifetime of dedication to their vocation, not to mention the using their own money for supplies and spending their free time grading papers and coaching and all the other things that they do. But they have a firmer footing to stand up to bad administrators and principals, don't they?
Yes, yes, they do. And that's a very important thing. And, that's what's made Madison a unique and very special school district in a lot of respects. The employment security that's come along with a strong union, and there's no dispute about it. You can go to Chicago, you can go to L.A., you can go to Racine, Milwaukee, and MTI members have really, paved the way. You can find gear, swag, MTI swag. It's such a compliment to the organization and the members. People, it's something to aspire to. Much like in 2010 or 2011, I should say, it was MTI members who stayed inside that Capitol for 4 days while others were directed to go back and adhered to that, but bucked the trend and said, "This what's going down in the state's not okay." And, the right-stripping legislation known as Act 10, it was Madison teacher members that really, really stayed on the barricades and continued to be at the forefront of that conversation and struggle about what the future of the state would look like by way of statutes, rights, legislation, child labor laws, fair employment laws, the right to have collective bargaining, all of those things. So MTI has a proud tradition, long-standing tradition of activism and fighting for, again, racial, social.
Well, I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, now you can correct me, but it seems to me that longtime MTI director and one of my heroes, John Matthews, was there with Father Grappi in the assembly as they were fighting for fair housing in Wisconsin many years ago.
Yes, yes, that's also true. Yeah, so that's true. So John's presence and his legacy and the foundation he's laid, it's how you build a house from the ground up, and we're going to continue to move in that direction and be as inclusive as possible and member driven and again democratic, little d. A democratic union, that means member participation and involvement and engagement on all issues and questions of concern that affect them and their family. So those concepts and traditions will continue, and they're deeply rooted in Madison teachers.
What do you mentioned something to me the other day when we were talking off air about making sure that if you want to retain and keep more minority teachers, that you make sure that there's funding for their education. Explain to me.
Well, I think one of the aspects of recruitment is, access to higher education costs a lot of money. And household income is the gatekeeper or the barrier, if you will, to access to higher education. Experience recently in Milwaukee, in my role as deputy director there, even in Madison, there's a Grow Your Own program, trying to cultivate teachers of color from within the organization. Milwaukee's taken that a step further with its recent referendum, offering, you know, tuition waivers, paying up to $10,000 stipend towards tuition to attract and help a career ladder, you know, like using special education assistants, paraprofessionals, food service employees, people that are committed to the school community and education of children, in helping them to advance their career goals. There needs to be some financial incentives to that. Again, yesterday, through the Handbook Review Committee, MTI's committee members put forth a very comprehensive list of options and proposals to the school district, all of which were just outright rejected, and no change to the district's position, and that's going back several months to May 28th, no change. So they confirmed they're not interested in anything right now. That, you know, that whole notion of collaborative problem solving has gone by the wayside. And now it's just, it's our way or the highway kind of approach.
All right. Even after the school board pushed back on their initial proposal.
Yeah, the school board pushed back after receiving like 400 emails each and that kind of thing. Folks weighing in on the process and, again, the threat of the loss of seniority. And seniority is not the sole criteria, by the way, that's in the handbook. Qualifications, the best interest of the school community or school program is there. There is built-in discretion already within the policy, so it's not solely based, decisions aren't solely based on seniority. Moving teachers around when they need to balance the workforce is called surplus. You know, all of those things are there, prior experience, qualifications, best interest of the school. There's a lot of discretion there already. It's just this has become like a red herring and a divide and conquer approach.
Well, it sounds like a Trojan horse approach. The district's trying to save money, and they're trying. It's really kind of pernicious when you think about it. They're trying to use a moment of racial unrest to try to divide the union and actually just save money.
That's correct. No, you're accurately describing.
Was pernicious too strong a word?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I mean, they've been fabricating, you know, other mistruths and just outright lying in some of their communication. And we've amended our prohibited practice complaint before the Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission to call them out on that as well. You know,
I hate to ask this, but do they know who they're messing with? Do they know you?
Well, it's not about me, Sly.
Well, you know, I know. Again, I understand that.
No.
All right, but you're not a. I wouldn't. You're not a patsy. Okay, you've been to a couple rodeos. Okay.
Well, somebody on a social page said they're testing you, and I said no, they're testing us. So it's again, the correct pronouns are we and us. I'm privileged to be in the background here, helping to provide. Expertise, experience, technical advice, and but it's a member driven union, and it'll remain that way, you know.
All right. If push comes to shove and they continue down this path, are you prepared to walk?
Well, that's something when you say, are you prepared to walk? Again, it's really, again, that's the notion is workers here, of course, don't have the right to strike to enforce their economic demands. But I would submit that, again, much like when Act 10 was passed, the district had gone to enjoin MTI and force teachers and paraprofessionals and members back to work, and the court said this is not a strike because it's not engaging in an effort to enforce any economic demands on the employer. This is a policy debate that we're engaged in right now, and you know, I think free speech is critical, and people weighing in, an educator voice is the foundation of this union. And again, the trust that's been reflected in that handbook, you know, inclusion of that voice, that's what's been taken away right now. And, you know, it's the superintendent had sent me a communication that what's on the table is not up for debate. And it's like, well, with all due respect, if you want to attract and retain a more diverse workforce, you have to do so in a way that extends greater employment protections, provides more security, and that can include financial standard of living. There's a teacher shortage in Wisconsin. It's very well documented. Teachers are acting like free agents in Major League Baseball, even though the season isn't underway because of the pandemic. But I could give you 100 anecdotal stories where somebody goes to a surrounding community and is poached or recruited and is given a $10,000 raise and isn't being subjected to, oh, by the way, you may be laid off regardless of your 24-year commitment, you know, because we say so.
This is really about saving the school district.
Well, this is about the future of the school district for sure. Yeah, and again, we've got a looming referendum that's pending for the fall, and that's really the big issue as well. So the district right now has secured a capital referendum. You know, they've got that figured out, but they really need to up their game on what they're doing by way of operations. It was Martin Luther King Jr., I believe, who said budgets are moral documents, right? And so, again, we want the district to think about moving in a correct direction and asking for an appropriate amount of funding, if there is a shortfall at the state and federal level, that not only fills that gap, but takes it a step further and addresses the real needs of students that attend the school system. That means more resources for kids and a decent standard of living for those doing the work.
Which is what you got passed in Milwaukee this spring.
Well, this past spring, Milwaukee passed an $87 million operational referendum in April, and that came in with a 78% approval vote. During the April election, during the pandemic, during these economic times. If you take it over to Racine, I think it may have passed by four votes, but it passed a $1 billion referendum. I mean, that's really stick. That's really crazy. But it passed, you know, so Madison can do better. And leaders need to lead. I'm talking about the school board. And get this done appropriately. So within the labor community, I mean, we've had a lot of conversations with the building trades, South Central Federation of Labor. You know, all of the elements are shaping up and getting lined up to help, you know, garner the resources with a campaign around a school funding referendum. What an opportunity to unify the community, you know, in the fall, around something to aspire to, but we find ourselves right now in the midst of reacting to an attack on employment security and an austerity budget and concessions, and that's not unique to this school district, by the way.
No, I'm sure it's happening all over the country.
Yeah, it's happening in most places.
I will be with you. I was a freshman at James Madison Memorial High School in 1976, and I refused to cross the picket line.
Well, right so on, brother.
I will never cross a picket line.
Never.
Ed Sedlowski, Executive Director of MTI, thanks for coming to Sly's office.
Hey, thanks for having us on this morning, and thanks for the important work that you do every day.
Thank you.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.